Am I on, John? There we go. Good to see you guys this morning. Always when we have a service where there's many things involved, sometimes communion, sometimes other kind of things, I'm always prompted in my heart, you know, don't get up there and mess up the rest of the service with the Word of God today. You know, as we venture on through the summer here, what we're going to do for the rest of the summer as we would get into the fall season, we're going to be studying God's Word from the book of Colossians is what we're going to do. I won't be preaching verse by verse through the book of Colossians. We're going to be picking up big themes, big topics, and then we're going to bring a message in light of those topics of themes. I decided to do that as I was praying about this and seeking God's will and what he wanted us to do with us jumping back into Romans. We ended in Romans 6. We got a long way to go in Romans. The Lord really led me on my heart to keep the continuity going in the book of Romans. As we would study, we'll review chapter 6 and then 7 and 8 and 9, because how they fit together and how the God's word teaches us his truth, as those would run together. And so we're going to be looking at the book of Colossians through the summer. Pastor Tom's going to bring a few messages as we would go through the rest of summer. And so, Lord prompted me not to break that up. So that's what we're going to be doing. So if you'll turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. If you grab your outline to follow along, and the young kids here, there's always a little kid zone with some questions in there that apply to the message today, just to help us learn from God's word and follow along. The title for today's message is Walking Worthy, or Walk Worthy, Pleasing the Lord. And as you would just hear that and think of that, that would be a desire of all of us, right? Right? That's a desire of each and every one of us. I want to walk worthy, pleasing the Lord, don't you? You know, that's the life that we want as Christians. We want to live a Christian life that's worthy of the Lord. We want to live a life pleasing the Lord. We want to have a worthy walk with Jesus Christ in the Christian life. Who would say no to that, right? None of us would say no to that. In fact, I can give you this. No Christian would say, no, I don't want to walk worthy of the Lord. A Christian might say, I'm not. A Christian might say, I know there's some things in my life that's not pleasing the Lord, but there's no but believer in Christ. There's no one that has trusted in the Lord and got the new life in Christ that says, no, I don't want to honor the Lord with my life. We might struggle in some things, but this new life that we have in Christ, this what God did in our transformed life, we have in us a desire to honor God, follow God's word. We love his word. We want to honor him with our life. We may fall short of it, but it's in there. It's what God did in our transformed life. It's called regeneration. We want this for others. We want people to walk for the Lord. They want to walk in a manner worthy for. We want it for each other, for ourselves. We want it for our kids. Absolutely. Don't you pray for your kids for that? That they would live a life pleasing to the Lord? You know what that looks like. You know how that helps them, encourages them, keeps them out of trouble, right? I mean, that's the reality of it. If you live a life pleasing the Lord, you're not in so much trouble. You know, we would want that for each other, for our loved ones, our church family. So look at the passage with me. As the Apostle Paul writes here in verses 9 through 14, look at it with me. Let's just read it, what he says here. We'll drop it into the first chapter. Here's a topic, a theme, and he writes this. For this reason also, since the day we've heard of it, that's your faith, your salvation, that you're a Christian, we have not ceased to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that, verse 10, you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of steadfastness and patience, joyously, with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's incredible, isn't it? Did you hear God's word this morning? Did you hear what the Apostle Paul prayed and what he said and what the truth is? So you'll walk in a manner worthy, I'll walk in a manner worthy. One of those passages hits you right here, doesn't it? When you look at it, when you listen to it, when you read it, when you hear it, here, the Apostle Paul, listen to him. He's just praying. He heard they're Christians, they're believers in Christ, and he prays for their life of the believer. He prays for their life to be a certain way. Listen to it again. Listen to what he said. Let's read it again. For this reason, also, since the day we've heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. That's God's will, and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of steadfastness and patience joyously. Giving thanks to the Father who qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So Paul says, for this reason, we pray. For this reason, because you guys are believers in Christ, you have this new life in Christ, we heard of your faith and your love you have for each other, we hear that you have the life of Christ, you have it. So Paul prays for them. He petitions God to work in the Lord so they will walk in a manner worthy, pleasing the Lord. Pretty simple, isn't it? He hears that you're a Christian, you're a believer in Christ. Trent's a believer in Christ. Heard you're a Christian, know you're a Christian, right? Pray for you that God will work in your life so you'll walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm not to stop doing that. We're not to stop doing that. We're to ask, we're to seek, we're to know, we're to pray for each other. This is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. So hearing of these people that they're Christians, he desires them to live for the Lord, and he prays for them to do so. He prays for what God wants in their life. Get this, hear this, he prays for what God wants in their life. He prays for what God wants in their life, what God desires in their life to come about. He prays for God's will, what God wants to fill their lives with, God's will. Big focus for the Apostle Paul through the New Testament. It's all over the New Testament throughout his writings. Ephesians 1, he says that knowing the truth of God's work in your life, that when we know the truth of God's work in our life for salvation, when we understand the truth and understand it with insight, what God has done, we're going to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Ephesians 5 says that we're to walk in love like Christ, and we're to understand the love of Christ and walk in love, and we are to walk as children of light. 1 Thessalonians 2:12 says it this way. He tells this church to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own glory and his kingdom. And in 4:1 of the same book, he says to them, and we exhort you in the Lord Jesus Christ to excel still more in how you ought to walk and please God. Romans 6:4 tells us that we're to walk in the newness of life, in the honor of God, in honor of the new life that we have in Christ, and to glorify God. It's all over Scripture that we are to live a life that's worthy to the Lord. We're to walk in a manner worthy of what God has done. Our lives are to be lived in a manner worthy of God, of his kingdom, of his gospel, of his Christ, of his salvation, pleasing the Lord that who saved us. No question, right? Anybody got a question that we're supposed to live this way? There's no question, is there? Not a question, right? That God's desire, his will for us is to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in all respects. Not a question, is there? The Apostle Paul is approaching the prayer knowing that there's no question. That's what he's praying, and he's coming to the Lord. He prays for this. This is what God wants to do in the believer's life. So he prays. Look at chapter verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we've heard of it, we heard of your salvation, we've heard of your faith, your trusting in Christ, we have not to cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So he prays. Samuel prayed something really similar to this in 1 Samuel. Let me read it to you. It's in 1 Samuel 12. He said this. He said, for the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for himself. Same thing applies to us. He won't abandon us. Through our struggle or trial or even our not of choosing to follow him, whatever that is, he doesn't abandon us because he was pleased to make me and you as people. Listen to 23. Moreover, as for me, far be it for me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. Samuel says it's a sin not to pray for the believers, the people of God, to live for the Lord. I will instruct you in God and in good and in the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. That's the motive, isn't it? The motive is the grace of God in our life. The motive is what God has done, and he's put us in this relationship with him, and we're to seek him and know him and live for him and desire to live what he desires for us. So the apostle prayed. He prayed for the church in Thessalonica, saying, we pray for you always that God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire that you have for goodness and work of faith with power, and the name of the Lord will be glorified in you. He prayed for the Christians in Ephesus, that their eyes of their hearts would be enlightened, and they'd understand the riches of God's calling and the surpassing power of God's work toward them, and that they would have an intimate knowledge of the love of Christ, and that they would have all the fullness of God. He prayed for the Christians in Philippi that their love would abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment. And in Colossians 4:12, the Apostle Paul told this church that Epaphras, their pastor, their leader, the one who loved them, always labors earnestly for you in his prayers that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all of the will of God. And that's just a sample of the New Testament. This isn't questioned. This is our life. This is what God wants. The Apostle Paul knows it in our Christianity. We're to pray for Christians, for believers, our loved ones, our kids, our spouses, each other, that we would walk in a manner worthy, pleasing to the Lord. We're to petition God. We're to ask God to help us, to help them, to lead them, to guide us, to teach us, to show us the way to live for the Lord, to fill us in the ways of his life. We do this for our children, for our spouses, for our friends, for our loved ones, for the church. I pray for you. I pray for us every week. There's many that do. Since I've been in this, I've been praying this for a while. We seek God to do this in our lives, asking God to guide us, to instruct us, to walk in a manner worthy. And before we dig into the specifics of the petition, because that's what you're going to want to get into right here. So Paul prayed and asked God that we would be filled with a knowledge of his will, with all spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding or insight, so that, there's this purpose statement, so this petition that we're asking God for is what is in the impactful thing, the power of God, that would bring the so that we would walk in a manner worthy. Before we look at the depth of that, let's look at the fruit. I want you to be enamored and overwhelmed with what God is wanting to do in our life. This is what he wants to show forth and bring out of our life. Look at what it produces, what we're talking about here. Look at what it produces, the fruit of it. Here's the results of the petition happening. Okay, let's look at it that way. Verses 10 through 14, hear them again. This is the results. You will walk in a manner worthy, pleasing him in all respects. You will bear fruit in every good work. You will increase in the knowledge of God. You will be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of steadfastness and patience with joy. You will have a grateful heart, giving thanks to the Father who qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, because he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom, Christ, we have redemption, forgiveness of sins. Wow, who doesn't want those results in your life? Everybody in the room, right? If you want those results, raise your hand. Everybody wants those results, right? We're Christians, believers in Christ, trusted God, want to honor God, want to live for him, want our lives to be a testimony of the transformed life that we have in Christ, want it to make a difference in this world, to make an impact to this world for God and God's glory. This is it. This is what it looks like, what God desires in our lives. We would say, I want that, right? The Apostle Paul knows this. He knows Christians. He knows Christianity. God's leading him. Here he is with this petition and prayer so that this will happen in our life. Let me just share with you a little bit on this, on this fruit. If you went through it backwards, 14 through 10, it would be this. In whom I've been redeemed. You've been redeemed. We have redemption. We have forgiveness of sins. We have been rescued from the domain of darkness. We have been transferred into the kingdom of his blood of his Son. We have been qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. We have these things from God, and when we follow God and walk with him, we have a grateful heart. We have with joy. We have patience. We're steadfast by the power of God, strengthened with it, growing in an intimate relationship, knowledge of God, bearing fruit in every good work, walking in a manner worthy. That should excite us, right? Are you excited? It's like, okay, wow, this is exciting. Okay, I fall short, you fall short. Don't let the enemy come in. God isn't here to speak to your life and tell you, oh, you fall short, so short of this. He's here to talk to you about, this is where I'm going in your life. The enemy's telling you how bad you are. The enemy of God doesn't want you to have courage and to pray, and doesn't want you to be faithful, and doesn't want you to endure, doesn't want you to seek God, doesn't want all these kind of things. Oh, you're just a second-class Christian. You are just whatever voice that is. God isn't saying that. God is, he might hold you accountable when you know you need to be held accountable, but he's saying, hey, this way. He gave his son so we could follow his way. He gave on the cross and all that he did in our lives through the work of Christ, not to hammer us, to lead us, to guide us. Yes, sometimes a rebuke is important from the Lord. But this is important. The first result, look at it, verse 10. This is where we get our title, you'll walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. Circle that. Just you know, there's this, it's so that in my text. It's a purpose statement, purpose clause. That's what it is. This is so you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. What a goal in our life, right? What a great thing we can do. I can walk in a manner worthy pleasing the Lord in all respects. I can do that. What an incredible thing. What an incredible fruit. This is a life where our whole life's conduct is in a manner worthy of the gospel. We are where we live a determined life in keeping God's commandments and pleasing him, where we're walking with Christ, being built up in him. The second fruit that's in here is bearing fruit in every good work. Look at it. It says it right there, that you would be bearing fruit in every good work. Jesus said in John 15:8, he said this, that we are to be bearing much fruit, proving that we're disciples of Christ, bringing glory to the Father. Listen, that's God's purpose in our life. Are you a disciple of Christ? We're disciples of Christ, followers of Christ. That's what we are, what God wants to do in our life. He wants us to bear fruit in our life, proving that we're disciples of Christ, and then we're glorifying the Father. In verse 16 of the same chapter, he said this. He said, I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, and your fruit that would remain. See, this is what God's desire, what his purpose, his plan is in our life, to bear fruit. Bear fruit is doing the work God prepared for you to do in your new life in Christ. Ephesians 2:10 says, people see it in your life. They see your transformed life. They see salvation. They see the things that are in your life. You share the gospel with them. They come to saving faith. That fruit is being born in the Christian's life. And then we know the fruit of the Spirit, right? That God wants to bear in our life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. See, the Apostle Paul has all that in here. He's writing to basically new believers, or about them, praying for them. A further result is spiritual growth. Look at it with me, the end of verse 10. And I know I'm going fast, but time's a little short, but that's okay. Are we following along? Sure. Sometimes I can kind of talk kind of quick. I'm not letting you dwell and meditate on any of it. That's okay. Because we got to get to the end here of what we're going to dwell and meditate on. Here's the fruit. Here's the further result, spiritual growth. This is very impactful. Look what it says, increasing in the knowledge of God. In the original language, this is what this is talking about. It's very relational. It's not about, you know, getting something in a sense of that you can increase in math skills, English skills, understanding skills, those kind of things, knowledge. You know, you look at that word and you think of that. This is an intimate, real knowing of God and who he is, why he came, what he did, and who you are, and why he saved you, and what he did in your life. And as you walk with the Lord in this, this increases, and it always isn't going to increase anybody walking with the Lord, this understanding. And it's relational knowledge. It speaks of an intimate knowing of God and knowing his ways. It's God the Father, listen to this, teaching his son or daughter his glorious ways. It's the Lord Jesus Christ walking with his disciples in intimacy, increasingly getting to know God. That's the fruit of this. To come closer and closer in a relational aspect with your God and your Savior, and understanding why he did, what he does, who he is, and what's happening. It's holding fast, Colossians 2:9 says, to Christ in his ways, where we grow with the growth that is from God and God alone. It's where we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3 says. Ephesians 4:13 says it this way. Let me read it. This is what he's talking about. It's where we all, until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. This is an increasing intimate knowing of God as we walk with him that the Apostle Paul is talking about. That's the fruit in our life. Quick question. Anybody want to grow in your intimate knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and the surpassing knowledge of who Christ is and why he came, what he did, and his compassion and love and care and consistency of his being with you? Anybody want to grow in knowing of that and an understanding of that, of the relational aspect of that? Because if you're like me, a lot of times in our life what we struggle with is our relationship with Christ. And this is a very relational passage. He says, as a result, look at verse 11. You'll be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of steadfastness and patience joyously. I put it this way. The result will be you will be strengthened with endurance, having joy. I wrote real big in blue here. I want that. I want to go through the challenges of life strengthened by God's power for the purpose of endurance and faithfulness to God and have Christ's joy in it. I want that. Now, you can tell, and you've noticed as I've been talking about this, these are very relational with the Lord. It's very important for us to get that. This isn't kind of an outside thing. Do you agree this is very relational? It certainly is. Because get this, you don't do this on your own. Nobody does. But get this, also God doesn't do this if you don't choose to walk with him. Did you hear me what I had to say? You don't do this on your own. This isn't about, okay, I do this, and this is what's going to happen in my life, and I'm going to walk in a manner worthy, and I'm going to please in all respects, and I'm going to bear fruit, and I'm just going to go this way, and I'm going to do that, and it's going to happen. It doesn't happen without you walking with the Lord in an intimate relationship with him. But get this, if you don't walk with the Lord in an intimate relationship with him, God doesn't make it happen. That's what he's getting across here in what he's praying about. But we can and will walk worthy, pleasing the Lord, bearing the fruit that God desires in the power of God to remain steadfast with joy as we walk with Christ. Isaiah said it this way in Isaiah 45:25, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Only in our real union with him and our walk with him is that. It was mentioned today out of Hebrews 12:1. Let us run the race of living for Christ with endurance, fixing our eyes on Christ. Psalm 16 says it this way, I set the Lord continuously before me. He's constantly in my vision. David said that in Psalm 16. It's a relationship that the Apostle Paul is talking about here. It's a walk with the Lord. It's relational that we have these things happen in our life. You're not going to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, keeping the rules and regulations. But if you don't walk with the Lord, you won't keep his commandments and his ways. It's just how that works. That's how God made it. He saved you, rescued you, delivered you, redeemed you, reconciled you back to him. He's jealous in the sense that he wants all of you. He wants a relationship with you. And you can't go keep the list of rules. You can't keep the ways of things and all of this and it be, in a sense, able to do what God is talking about here. Although he wants us to keep his commandments, he wants us to live righteous lives. Then the final fruit, a gratefulness for the riches of our salvation. In verse 12 through 14, look at it. Then you're giving thanks to the Father who qualified you us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For then you're giving thanks. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, forgiveness of sins. Look at it this way. You really only know the depth of the redemption and forgiveness that you have. You only know the depth of the intimacy and intimate rescue that you have in Christ. You only know the really richness of the inheritance that you have in Christ when you know the fruit that the Lord produces as you walk worthy, pleasing him, walking with him. That's how you get the richness, the understanding, the depth of knowing what God really did in your life. When you see who you really truly are and who God truly is, who Christ truly is, and that you're a sinner and in no place was there goodness in your life, that God rescued you because you belong to the domain of darkness, you follow the domain of darkness, no matter what your heart or mind or will or what you thought, the truth of God's word says that's what you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And then God rescued you and redeemed you and reconciled you, and that as you follow him and live with him, you begin to walk in a manner worthy, pleasing him, bearing fruit, empowered to endure the things of this life, to be faithful to what God has for your life. Intimacy. You see what I'm talking about today, aren't you? Or don't you? Because it's not about praying a prayer, okay? Because that's not what God is has this about. And the Apostle Paul isn't meaning that when you see it that way. It's not about just saying this prayer. The relationship that we have been given in Christ is absolutely amazing. And that's what the Apostle Paul is prompting in. So let's look at the petition as we look at our last 10 minutes today. So we got the prayer and we got the produce. We see the fruit and there's this petition. Let's look at it. It says, be filled with the knowledge of his spiritual wisdom and the knowledge of his will and spiritual wisdom and understanding or insight, understanding insight to different words. He says, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Lord, fill them, fill us with the intimate relational knowledge of what you want, of what you desire, with your wisdom, with your understanding. Now, that's what he's saying. Lord, fill them, Lord, fill us with an intimate relationship knowledge of you, of what you desire, of what you want, of what your wisdom is, what your understanding is. That's the petition. And it's so relational. I need to illustrate it to you. I was doing this, I was kind of working on this a little bit yesterday. And I was walking around and I had this side out. This side says, nasty glowing stuff inside. So we're going to turn that this way so you can ignore that. This is me. This is who I am. God didn't say, you pray for me. Fill it, Lord. Did I pray? God, fill it. Just fill it up. That's not what the prayer is. That's not what the request is. It's just fill it. The Apostle Paul is saying, okay, we just ask God, fill it, and there we are, we're over there, and then God fills us with the knowledge of his will, with spiritual wisdom and understanding, and then we walk in a manner worthy. We just ask God, and we just pray, and God fills it. It's like this. This is what this is talking about. This is me, and I participate in what God's doing, and I come to Bible study, and I say, Lord, fill it, and I come to Sunday school, and I say, Lord, fill it. And I come to the message on Sunday, and I open my Bible, and I write notes in the outline, and I say, Lord, fill it. Fill me with an understanding of what you want and what you desire, what you got going on, and give me wisdom and understanding and insight on how I'm going to live in this life and walk in a manner worthy for you and have strength and power and endure. See, it's relational, isn't it? We view it, it's like this. Pray, and he'll do it. The Apostle Paul is influenced. I'll get into the words why. But he's saying, this is Christianity. You have love for one another and for each other, and you have faith in Christ. Then automatically, you're coming to the Lord. That's who Christians are. And asking God, Lord, help me see and understand. But you participate. Your participation isn't just to pray. Your participation is to walk with the Lord. That's what he's talking about. To know what God's will is, to know what God desires, to know what is going on, to know how we're going to apply this into our life. God doesn't do this apart from your participation. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Well, do I let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, or does God have the word of Christ richly dwell within you? I come to the Lord and say, I want the word of Christ to richly dwell within me. And God says, well, read your Bible and come to church and do a Bible study and get into the Word. I'll make it happen. 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2. Put aside all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all those kind of things, like newborn babes. Long for the pure milk of the Word so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. I long for it. I can come to it. But I grow from the growth that is from God. I don't do this alone. That's what we want to understand and what we want to see. This is how this works. Let me show you how much of the will of God that you are filled with, okay? Will you guys help me? Oh, well, you're excited today. You guys help me. I want all of you to answer this in your mind. Some of you with your mouth, help me. According to God's word, how does God want us? What is God's will? How does he want us to speak to others? Help me. In love, okay. Kindness, okay. Truth, okay. Together, he wants us to speak to others together. Is that how does God want us to speak to other people? How's it, our words? Let unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, right? Edification, that's not for edification of the moment, right? Right? Also loving, kind, right? What other ones? Grace, right? How about Colossians 4:2, seasoned with salt to the lost, that you would, your words would be seasoned with salt, so you embrace the opportunity. These things come into your mind? This is the will of God for us. A certain way that we would speak to other people. I got a bunch of verses written down, and I'm hearing them. But here's another question. How are you to treat others? What's God's will on how we treat each other? Loving, forgiveness. Okay. I'm listening to the word. Have you been filled with the knowledge of God's will? Grace. Consider others more important than yourself. Right? Go through the word of God, what God has already taught you and what you've been filled with already, how we're to treat each other. Right? Let me give you another one. I'm hoping you guys are just putting this in your mind, you're thinking. What is your role or responsibility in the church family? What's the word of God say? What's God's will? Build it up. Encourage. Glorify. Make disciples. Good, right? That's use your gift. Don't be a stumbling block. Okay. You went to the hard one. Come on. Serve, right? But good. Bear one another's burdens, right? This is the will of God. Will of God's not hidden, isn't it? It's not hard to find. It's not like, oh, this is mysterious. Man, we don't know the will of God. We don't have any understanding. You know the will of God and how you're supposed to speak to each other and speak to the lost. What is your attitude to be toward the lost? What's the word of God? What does God say our attitude is to be toward the lost? Compassion. What others? Love. That's the biggest one, right? Love your enemies, right? Love. Pray. Care, love, concern. Let me ask you, how are you supposed to do your job? How are you supposed to do your job? What's the will of God, the way we do our job? Not grumbling, good. Okay, always glorify God in each and everything that we do, right? That would be everything, whether we eat or drink, whether we play baseball, softball, bowl, whether we like to fish, in our relationships, and everything that we do everything to the glory of God. So that's always going to be in everything as God's will that we would be it. But specifically, what's our role at work? Be grateful. How about if you got a mean boss? How are you supposed to work? This is the knowledge of his will. It's in his word. You come and you say, Lord, I want to understand it, Phil, that word there that we're looking at. But we really recognize we're kind of filled with the knowledge of his will in a lot of ways, right? Some things may be confusing. I could ask your wives, what's the role in your marriage? I could ask the husbands, how are you to treat your wives? Love and understand them. That's the way you do that, okay? We can ask the parents, what's your role in your children's lives? So we know God's will, right? Don't ever let it be in the said and you're thinking, well, I really don't know what God's will is. Wow. We know God's will. Come on, you guys, right? Yeah. We do. This isn't like complicated, right? So when he's saying be filled with the knowledge of his will, it's about studying his word. It's about getting to know him. It's about coming and let the word of God richly dwell within you. But we struggle to live it. We struggle to produce a life lived, pleasing God, bearing fruit, don't we? Because we struggle with doing God's will, don't we? Right? Come on, this is what Paul understands as believers. The answer's in the word, what he said to pray. It's in the word, be filled. That word's plerao in the Greek. It means to be filled with like fear or sorrow. It just rules your life. That's what that word means. It's not that it's empty and that we fill it. It's that what God fills us with rules our life. Lord, we pray for Christians that you would fill them with the truth of the knowledge of your will, spiritual wisdom and understanding. We pray that it would dominate how they live. that it would overwhelm them, that they would live what you say. Because as people, as Christians, as believers in Christ, the struggle is not with what he says. The struggle is with doing with what he says. And you won't do it apart from him. Lord, help me live the way you want me to live. That's the relationship aspect of this. I pray for my children. I pray for my grandson. Lord, help your word. Use your word. Use the truth of you to rule his heart on what he chooses to live for. That's what you desire, Lord. I want to participate in what you desire. You know, as Christians, in the freedom that you have in Christ, you can choose not to follow Christ. He doesn't like that. He tries to persuade you in that. But you've been given the freedom in Christ. I put it this way, Galatians 5:13, to live for the flesh and waste the opportunity to live for the Lord. That's why Paul would pray this. That's why we would pray this. Because that's what we want. We want to be ruled by. I recognize my struggle. Is that yours? Is that what God says doesn't always rule what I do? But I'm in a relationship with the Lord. I'm in a relationship with God. And as I walk with him, what he does in my life, in the transformed life, in me becoming more and more like Christ, is that what God says and what he desires becomes more and more what rules the way I live. That's called sanctification. And one day it will be complete. What a great prayer, huh? And in the midst of it all, we can walk in a manner worthy of pleasing the Lord. Not perfect, but pleasing the Lord is, here I am, Lord. Here's what you say. Help me live what you say. And the Lord is pleased. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, for all the blessings that we've had today, and just to gather together as your church, as your people, and to sing to you. These wonderful songs today, Lord, just lifted up my heart to just come to you and worship you. And then the sharing from Mexico just instills in us just the gratitude that we have and the connectedness that we have with other believers in Christ, trying to live for the Lord. That's what came out in all those testimonies, that these, our fellow sister church, just loves you and loves us and just embraces to grow together. And it's a blessing to be a part of that. And then with Samantha and what you have led her, this would be, in a sense, something that she's been praying for and asking you to give her an understanding with wisdom and insight of what your will is for her in a specific way to go serve you in a way as a missionary. And then, Lord, what you brought in her life was a confirmation and a filling of a ruling that she knows that this is what you have for her. That's what it looks like to follow the Spirit of God. And so we thank you for her testimony and her relationship with you, and pray for her, Lord, that you would watch over her and protect her. But Lord, we thank you that you will use her as she walks with you to bear fruit. So we ask that you would strengthen her with all power to remain steadfast and patience with the joy that you will give her in the midst of the struggles that she will have. We're just grateful for the day you've given, for the time in your word, for what you say, and help us, Lord, to not just pray, but ask. To come to you and ask, Lord, that you would do these in our life, that you would show us your will, show us your way, give us a wisdom and an insight on how we're to live. All for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're dismissed for today.